May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. I have a good friend from my home parish who is a person of deep and profound faith. She is a person of prayer and a lifelong Episcopalian, and I deeply appreciate how she tends to view the whole world through the lens of where is God in all of this. But for some reason, my friend has a fascination with the end times. And so every time something bad happens in the world, she posts to her Facebook page two or three predictions from some out there sources that this particular disaster is one of the signs that Jesus' return is imminent. I don't know why she doesn't get discouraged by that, because they've never come true, they've never been right. But nonetheless, she continues to watch all the things in the world and wait for the coming kingdom. And I think I'm beginning to understand why. Because as I've gotten older, it seems like every single year the news becomes more alike. And every year it is more obviously full of things that should have been fixed a very long time ago. This week, one of the things, as I was reading Linda's post about this week's signs of apocalypse, I was also reading an article a friend posted that drew from Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech after race riots, I think in L.A. And Martin Luther King's words could have been said this week, this very week, as we watched what unfolded in Ferguson, Missouri, both in terms of the frustration and the sense of oppression and the sense of being unheard and of suffering from injustice from the residents, and the fears of the people around it as riots broke out. It was almost like he was sitting there commenting on what we were experiencing this week, all the injustice and the fear and the anger and the destruction. And here it is, so many years later. I wasn't born when Martin Luther King Jr. offered those words. And yet here they could have been the same words today. And I would really, really, really like the events of the last week to be the final sign that this time God is going to fix it. Because we have failed miserably at it. Because it seems like we cannot solve our problems for ourselves. So I would very much like Jesus Christ to come and finally get us straightened out and sorted out and make this world a place where justice is there for everyone, where there is no fear and no anger, and where there are no riot police ready to stand there because they know what's going to happen next. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Maranatha. Surely, surely this can be a sign of the coming of the apocalypse, the coming of Christ in glory to judge us all and finally set things right. Except that it probably isn't. Because in the chapter in which our gospel reading is drawn from today, the disciples are asking Jesus exactly that question. We see all of these disasters around us, Lord. What is the sign that the kingdom is finally going to come? What is the sign that at last God will set everything right? And Jesus says to them, this is the Message translation, "Watch out for doomsday deceivers. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, 'I'm the one.' They will deceive a lot of people. When you hear of wars and rumored wars, keep your head and don't panic. This is routine history and no sign of the end. Nation will fight nation, and ruler will fight ruler, over and over. Earthquakes will occur in various places. There will be famines. But these things are nothing compared to what's coming. All of those terrible things coming, all of those things that we know are part of human history, are not signs of the end of the world. They are not the signs we are looking for. It does not mean that finally this Christmas Christ will come in glory through the clouds descending like a son of man. But I still need a sign. Like the disciples, I still want to know that there's some kind of hope. That there is some kind of hope that we will one day live in a world where there is justice for everyone, where all voices are heard, where there are not some people left out of our economic opportunities and potentials, where everyone shares in that kingdom that Jesus talks about. And I began thinking and reflecting on Jesus' words. And it occurs to me that the problem is I'm looking for signs in what's happening out there, in the wars and rumors of wars, in the nations making war upon nation, in the fire and the destruction. I'm looking for signs in the wrong places. Because the sign I'm looking for of God's kingdom drawing closer isn't out there. It's in here. We are the signs of God's kingdom. Jesus tells the disciples, keep awake, because this whole thing is like a man who went away on a journey and he left behind his servants. He left them behind with work to do, with tasks to be accomplished. He left them to watch out for one another and keep things moving forward. We are those servants. We are the ones that Christ left behind in this world to be God's hands and feet, to be the body of Christ in the world. We are the ones who have been given tasks to prepare for the coming of the kingdom. We are the ones who have been given the job of seeking justice, of raising the voice, our voices for those who are voiceless, of feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, of caring for the sick and visiting the prisoners. We are the ones who have been entrusted with tasks, and as we heard St. Paul say, we have been richly gifted for the fulfilling of those tasks. We are the signs that we are looking for. So when I look towards Ferguson, Missouri, it is not the images of businesses on fire and rooting and rioting in the street and riot police desperately, hopefully, holding back people, fearfully standing there. Those are not the images that we should be looking for as signs of the coming kingdom. What we should be looking for are the ones who will be left behind after the television cameras leave. The ones who will be picking up the pieces and rebuilding communities and seeking to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation that God has given us, seeking to bring together people who have been hurt, people who are fearful, people who are worried, trying to start something new out of the death and destruction that we've seen on our television screens. Bringing new life out of death and despair and destruction. Because that's the sign that Jesus gives the disciples. The sign they should be looking for, he says, is like the fig tree when it bursts into bloom for summer. When the leaves come forth from branches that were barren and seemed dead, new life emerging is the sign that we are looking for. And we are given the task of nurturing that new life, of speaking and binding up wounds, of calling to account those with power, and lifting up those who have been trampled, of rebuilding and restoring and reconciling. Because that is the sign of the coming kingdom, not fire raining from heaven, not yet another war, not yet another riot. The sign of the coming kingdom is us, all of us, living into the promise of the kingdom Jesus will one day bring in all its glory. The sign of the hungry being fed, the prisoners being visited, justice being offered, and reconciliation being made possible, not in a sudden blast of light, but as little tiny bits of labor by the servants waiting for the return of the Master. We, all of us, are the signs we are waiting for. Amen.